Hey, our number is down this morning. We have several who are out of town and some who are not feeling well. So anyway, we're here. And so we're going to have another lesson here. And this lesson is called Watch. And you might think it's a strange title, but basically it means pay attention. As Christians, we are commanded to watch. We're commanded to pay attention, to see what's going on around us, and to avoid certain situations. So we do need to watch. See, throughout the Bible, we find multitudes of warnings. There's warnings all through the Bible. And one of those warnings is that we need to continually beware is the need to watch. We need to pay attention. We need to watch what's going on. And so I want to remind us about our need to watch. And many passages of Scripture serve as a warning to Christians to pay attention to what is going on around them. And we need to be aware of what is going on around us. Then to perceive the situation and make the best use of it in teaching and setting an example. We should always be ready to give a defense of the hope that we have in us. And one way of doing that is paying attention and looking for opportunities. And so that's what we can do. Now there's a need to watch. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." Ephesians 6, 18. And the armor of God, Paul reminds us to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So yes, we need to be watchful as we put on the armor of God. 1 Peter 4, 7, "But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." And so we see that. 2 Timothy 4, 5, Timothy was told to be watchful in all things as he did his work. In other words, pay attention to what you're doing. I mean, be watchful in your work. And in Revelation 3, verses 2 and 3, the church at Sardis was told, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." So these are just a handful of passages that call for us to watch in various aspects of our lives. All right, why do we need to watch? Well, he gives us the reason for that too. The devil is at work. We have to be mindful. The devil is at work. And believe me, the devil is working 24/7 to get you away from God. The devil is working 24/7, 365 to keep you out of heaven. I mean, that's really all you need to know about Satan. But he will use any tool at his disposal, any opportunity, any weakness that you might have to play upon that weakness. And he's going to trap you if he can. And so, that's why we need to watch. In 1 Peter 5, 8, even though it doesn't use the word watch, what we are warned to be sober and vigilant, and we need to watch because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 challenges us to not be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices. We know Satan uses any opportunity. Sometimes he might even use our own brethren. If that's going to be successful for him to keep you out of heaven. We need to watch because the Lord is returning. Yes, the Lord's going to come again. We're told to watch for him. From time to time, we heard lessons addressing false attempts to set the time out of the Lord's return. How many times in your lifetime have you heard it publicized and through the news, someone's predicting the end of the earth? I mean, back 50 years ago, some different groups were making these predictions all the time. The Jehovah's Witnesses were making these predictions all the time. Oh yeah, the world's going to end on this date or that date. And then every now and then, some of them come along, some crazy cult comes along, says the world's going to end at this time or that time. You know, Y2K, the world's supposed to end. The Mayan calendar, 2012, the world was supposed to end. And we hear all these lessons about that. I mean, one guy was so adamant about it. Well, it did end. You just missed it. So, I mean, it does that. But still, they come up with these things. And but what it is, they are failures. And we've identified the failures both by example and as they contradict clear scriptural teaching. Jesus said, no man knows the time or the hour. And it'll come like a thief in the night, as Peter said. And so it's going to happen. But even though such efforts are error, that does not change the fact that as Christians, we need to be watchful. We need to be looking for the Lord's return. We should be expecting it. I mean, that's something we don't normally do, is expect the Lord is going to come back now or any time now. I mean, sometimes we think, well, let's just hope he allows me to finish this movie or finish my dinner. Let's hope that I can finish my recreation or the trip that I'm on or something. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the things that we want to do, we're not paying attention. We're not watching for the Lord. And that should always be on our mind. And so dealing with the Lord's return, 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Yes, the idea of being sober, watch and be sober, is mentioned several times in Scripture. In other words, pay attention, keep your eyes open, and pay attention to what's going on, and know that God could come back at any moment. Matthew 24:42-43, Jesus said that, I believe this was about his second coming, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. That's Matthew 24:42-43. We have to watch because error is just around the corner. And we've seen this happen throughout our land and around the world. I mean, we're always just one generation away from apostasy. I mean, apostasy is real quick. I mean, there's formulas that people use to bring a whole church into apostasy. Sometimes it takes a process of several years. Sometimes it happens almost overnight. But people turn away from God and start doing the things of men. And it just can happen so easily. All it takes is a generation that does not ground the next generation in the truth of God's word. We see this back in Deuteronomy and in the book of Judges. You know, when it says, and there arose a generation that knew not God. I mean, that was right after Joshua and Caleb had passed away. And these were from the original ones who came out of Egypt 40 years. And all these people, they didn't have faith, so God allowed them to perish in the wilderness. So he brought their children up. But apparently the parents did not teach the children, because it says, as soon as Joshua died, there arose a generation that knew not God. And so Caleb's son was the first judge. And that was about 30 years after Caleb died. And these people didn't know God, but all of a sudden they were being oppressed. And why are we being oppressed? So then they think, well, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to have a God that's supposed to watch out for us? So then they made their cry and their appeal to God, and God sent them the deliverer. But see, we see this all around us. Many congregations have turned away from the truth. They've gone in for this entertainment. They want to attract the young people. And I guess that's one advantage we have, since we don't have that many young people, is we're not trying to cater to them. to make them feel, oh, it's going to be fun here. We haven't gone in for all the knickknacks and doodads that the denominations use to try and keep people showing up. We don't have the bands. We don't have the parties. We don't have the recreational stuff. We see this going on. Acts 20, verse 31, Paul warned the elders at Ephesus to watch because savage wolves would enter and devour the flock. And where would these wolves come from? They'd come from their own selves. He said, from your own midst, from you elders, some of you are going to turn people away and cause them to lose their souls. So we need to be watchful, constantly watchful. In Hebrews 13 and 17, we are to respect our elders because they watch out for our souls. And so that's what we need to do. And in the absence of elders, we have each other. We have our family of Christians to watch our souls. In Colossians 2:8, it tells us, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So we have to be ready for that. And we have to watch because we might fall away. I mean, we got to take heed lest we fall, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. And we have to be careful that we do not let down our guard in our lives because it can happen so easily. And so we need a guard against complacency. And that's one of the problems that a lot of people face, is we have complacency, and we don't need that. In Hebrews 3 and verse 12 says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And so we don't need that to happen. And also in Hebrews 2:1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away from them. And so, yes, these things that we know to be right, we allow them just to kind of slide by. We get involved in other things, and that's not good. So we need to be watchful for that. And Peter warned his audience to be steadfast, knowing you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. And it can happen. Apostasy can happen real quickly. Now, there are some things we should watch. As we're talking about watching today, there's some things we should watch. We should watch our words. Yeah, how many times does someone have to remind you, watch your language, watch your words? And sometimes we do that with maybe some of our friends. They get around us and start using words like that, watch your language. Sometimes it's family. And so we have to talk about that. And so we read James 3, 1 through 12. He spends all these 12 verses talking about the tongue, what the tongue produces, what it says. You know, the forest fire set aflame by such a little fire, a little spark even. And then, of course, the big ship that's directed by the rudder and the tongue, he says, no man can tame. And so we have to really work hard to control our language, to control our tongue, especially if we're in an environment like maybe the workplace where everybody's using foul language. I mean, controlling your tongue is very difficult in that situation, but it can be done. And so we find the danger of the tongue. And of course, words hurt people. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Uh-uh. It's the opposite of that. Words do hurt. I mean, saying something in a moment of wrath or anger, you can say something very hurtful to somebody, and it may take a long time to recover from that. So James warns us of the dangers of failing to control our tongues. And of course, you know, we talked about being sober earlier. You know, usually when with alcohol, and you kind of lose your inhibitions and you start saying things that shouldn't be said. That's why you shouldn't be drinking. So that's to consider also. And he also notes how it becomes a gauge for the rest of our lives. What our mouth does, what our mouth says, kind of dictates how we're living. See, if we can control our tongues, we can control our whole bodies. You know, just like they put the bit in the horse's mouth to control the direction that the horse goes. So there's so many ways that our tongues can get us into trouble. We can lie. You know, lying catches up to you. We can say gossip, which might hurt somebody. Using filthy language, which is not good at all. We can always be critical. Criticism. Criticizing everything. And we can say the hurtful words sometimes to people's faces. And they hurt. And they sometimes words hurt a whole lot worse than if someone just smacked you in the face and slapped you. I mean, words can hurt. And so Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." I mean, 3,000 years ago that was written, and it's still just as appropriate now. We need to say the right words at the right time. And if you don't have the right words, what Thumper say? Don't say anything at all. If you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. See, Matthew 25:36-37 warns us that for every idle word we speak, we're going to give an accounting. Yeah, every word that we speak, that's going to be our judging. Somehow, God is remembering this. Somehow, God knows what we're saying, what we're thinking, and he's going to hold us accountable for that. You know, Proverbs 21:23 says, "Where whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." And that's true. It really does. David prayed, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Psalm 141 and verse 3, which really is some good advice if we will do that. We also need to watch not only our tongue, but our actions. We need to watch our actions, what we actually do. So what we do is equally important as what we say. And that is why we need to watch our actions. And a cursory study of the New Testament reveals that the life of a Christian is about being busy. Being busy as a Christian. We should be doing that. And it consists of things that you do and things that you are not to do. I mean, we have to work sometimes hard to not do those things that God doesn't want us to do. Because Satan is trying to tempt us to do those things. So we got to work at it. And then there's things God has told us to do, which we might be complacent, we might be a little apathetic, we may not feel like doing them. But God said to do them. And if we don't do them, that's just as wrong as doing something he said not to do. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." All right, so that's plain and simple. Yeah, we've got to do what God tells us to do. And Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So yes, our actions, what people see in us. And of course, our example, that's what he's talking about, which includes our actions definitely affect others. How we behave, how we do it. I mean, let's say you're a Christian, you go out and do some things with this world, and one of your other Christian brothers or sisters sees you doing that. How's that going to affect them? They're going to be kind of questioning that and wondering, well, maybe I can do that too. Maybe I can get away with that. I mean, it's not good for others. See, in dealing with brethren, 1 Corinthians 8:9 and other passages tell us how our actions affect others. In 1 Corinthians 8, Paul's talking about the meat sacrificed to idols. And sometimes if someone says, well, here's meat to eat, but it was sacrificed to an idol, he said, don't eat. It might offend your brother. And you don't want to be a stumbling block, because if they eat, they are definitely going to be offended in their conscience, and it's going to be sin for them. So don't give your brethren any opportunity where they think that they can get away with doing something they know is wrong, and that is by sin. Another thing we have to watch are our thoughts. You know, what happens to thoughts? Thoughts turn into words. Thoughts turn into actions. Of course they do. And what we think is emphasized in Scripture. You know, Philippians 4:8. Whatever's good, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's a good report, and things of virtue, meditate on these things, or think on these things. And so, yes, that's where our thoughts need to be. We need to, as Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, set your mind on things above where Christ is, and not on the things of this earth. And so we need to be focused on spiritual thoughts, and that's where we need to be thinking ourselves. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:4-5 speaks of bringing our thoughts into captivity. You know, our minds can run all over the place. I mean, all the time. I mean, we might be driving down the road and see a billboard, and all of a sudden our thoughts just take over, and we might be thinking of something we shouldn't be thinking. We have to be mindful of that, and we have to control that. And so we have to bring our thoughts into captivity. And the way we think has a bearing on what we become and how we react in given circumstances. And that's true. I mean, as a man is in his heart, so is he. As we read in the Proverbs. So there's something to be said about being optimistic, though not prideful or arrogant. Yes, we can be optimistic. And we can always look at the bright side of things. Instead of being a pessimist and, well, what's the use? It's not going to do any good. I mean, Eeyore, right? Eeyore complex. Oh, nobody cares about me or something like that. So, no. We ought to be there. Now, we have to guard against pride and being arrogant. But you know what? People are going to consider you arrogant. You know, in 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, knowledge puffeth up. Or knowledge makes arrogant. And what he's saying is, it gives the appearance. When we start teaching people, here's what the Bible says, they're not going to take it as us trying to teach them a good message. Look how arrogant that person is. If we speak confidently about the Word of God, people of this world translate that as arrogance. And they think pride is involved in that. Now, so we have to be mindful of our thoughts. And also, how often do we jump to conclusions because of what we think without investigating? Yeah, we sometimes think things and we don't really do any investigation. So this is really one reason why we write off so many people. We know we're supposed to teach people the gospel, but we take one look at a person, they're not interested, and decide, oh, they're not worthy to receive the gospel. It's not worthy of my time, because it'd just be a waste of my time. And then we start thinking that, and we don't know. Because the Bible tells us there are people who are seeking the knowledge of God. And people asking God, hey, show me the way, he puts us in their pathway. We're supposed to be there. So truly, we need to watch our thoughts. And yes, the company we keep. We talked about this in class. We need to watch the company we keep as well. 1 Corinthians 15:33 warns us that evil company corrupts good morals, good habits. And it does. If you're hanging around the wrong kind of people, that's going to happen. You know, Proverbs 1:10-15, Solomon warns his son to consider his friends carefully. Notice what it says. Guess it need to be chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause, let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit, we shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the ways with them. Keep your feet from their path. So there's a warning there. There's people of this world who are just downright bad people. And they want you to join in with them and be like them. Don't do it. Similarly, we need to seek to be with our brethren. And as we talked about in class, the people of this world have no interest in your soul's salvation. They don't care if you go to heaven or not. All they're looking out, just as long as they get what they want and can have what they want to have their fun the way they want to do their fun. That's all they care about. But when you spend time around brethren, you have people who have the same goals and the same morals and the same principles that you have. And it's a whole lot easier to talk to them and talk to them about God and things like that. Just try talking to your friends that you hang around with about God and see what happens. Ephesians 5:21 calls for us to submit to one another. As Christians, we are to submit to one another. In other words, look to each other, see what we can do for each other. As Paul said in the Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, consider one another as more important than yourself. I mean, we should be doing that. Galatians 6:1, we seek to restore a brother who is overtaken in sin. Just be careful not to get caught up in that sin. So to do this, we need to be watchful. We need to watch our heart. I mean, what comes out of the heart? And we've engaged in extensive study of the heart. It is something we need to be concerned about. And the Bible has plenty to say about it. Proverbs 4:23 tells us that out of the heart springs forth the issues of life. So that's concerning our words. What comes out of our heart is our words. That's what it's talking about. Matthew 12:34-35, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it concerns our actions. Because what does Jesus say? Out of your heart comes your adulteries, the envyings, the murders, the strife. He's talking about our actions. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And this controls our thoughts. And so that's what we need to be mindful of. And Matthew 15:19, out of the heart we find evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, and so forth. The things that defile a man, it concerns our company, the people that we hang around with. And Proverbs 16:19, better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. See, Jesus taught us that the pure in heart will see God. And yeah, that's true. And when he's talking about the pure in heart, they will spend eternity with God and see him forever. Now, technically, everybody's going to see God because everybody's going to stand before God in judgment. And they will hear their sentence. See, many other things could be added to this list. You know, our prayers. We need to watch our prayers, what we're praying for and who we're praying for. Watching ourselves. We've got to behave ourselves sometimes. Sometimes, and we really need to work on that. And we find if we're hanging around Christians, it's a whole lot easier to mind your P's and Q's and mind your manners than when you're not. And so, these are sufficient to show us that we need to be watchful in all things. So what about you? Are you alert and watching so that God is pleased with you? Hopefully you will be after this lesson. And consider and remember what we're talking about. So we're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.